Chapter 15. Numa Vessel Raleigh. 8 ships from different sources clustered in the sea west of the fires. 2 Coast Guard ships, 2 tugs, Numa's Raleigh, 1 tender operated by the Navy, and 2 other ships chartered by FEMA. To make the mixed fleet work together, the head of FEMA had put representatives with satellite phones on each boat to coordinate with the captains and crews. Derek Reynolds had come aboard Numa's boat. He was nearly 40, had grown up around Louisiana, and had worked 2 dozen oil spills in the last decade. He knew how hard it was to get the oil companies or the government agencies to admit they'd done anything wrong. There would be hearings, committee meetings, maybe even fines, which the oil companies would pass on to their customers. But things never changed. He hoped this time would prove different. He hoped this time there would be action, that the regulations would change or a total ban on offshore oil would be put into place. He hoped for these things, but he doubted any of it would happen. After Deepwater Horizon, he'd given up on government action and began acting on his own. He'd met others who thought like him, and they'd brought him into a loose underground network. Knowing he was on the scene, someone from that network had reached out to him, and Reynolds intended to answer. Watching through a pair of binoculars, he studied the Hughes 500 as it took off and headed northeast. After reading the tail number, he made a call on his satellite phone, but it wasn't being placed to FEMA. "This is Reynolds," he said, identifying himself. "I have the information you requested." There was a brief pause before the party on the far end of the line responded. "Please continue," an electronically filtered voice said. 2 new arrivals," he said, "both named Trout, a biologist and a geologist based on their listed profiles. From what I've learned, they're here to look at the eco-impact." His contact didn't seem too concerned. "Anything else?" 2 of the other Numa personnel left on the helicopter. They were carrying some oddly shaped equipment. I couldn't get close enough to see what it was, but the rumor is they brought something up from the failed blowout preventer. "Interesting," the voice said. "Where are they going?" The helicopter took on a lot of fuel. One of them said something about New Orleans. "Give me the tail number." N541NM, he said. It was a Numa helicopter. A brief delay followed. "They lied about the destination. That helicopter is traveling to Pensacola, not New Orleans. They're already beginning to manipulate the truth. Be careful. Contact us if you see anything else out of the ordinary." As he broke the link, Reynolds considered the lies. It meant Numa was part of the cover-up. That was too bad. He had heard good things about the organization, indications that they'd done their fair share to care for the environment. Apparently, that was only window dressing, and they were just part of the big government machine like everyone else.